Initiating system 1. System 1 loaded.
The Gorecast is brought to you by American Horrors, the greatest uncut horror channel in the world. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all horror. As well as the station of decapitation, Without Your Head.
America's longest running horror channel, www.withoutyourhead.com.
The following program is rated TV-MAL. It contains strong language and is intended only for mature audiences. Viewer discretion advised.
What's up, Gorecasters? Welcome back here to the Gorecast with me, Johnny Deadly, and all the rest of the horror maniacs as we sit down here in our little spaceship floating above Earth, because Earth's fucked and we're better off up here. And we have a list of horror sequels here in front of us that we've decided we would watch and rank for you. Some of which made me happy and some of which made me sad. You know who you are. American Psycho 2.
About right.
We actually had to have a conversation before the show began about whether or not he'd be let off the chain in regards to that film, because it has happened in the past and it was a thing.
Yep.
Oh, it's a thing. Nope. I'm already. Yep. Saw that and immediately.
Yeah, Buzz, you and I at the exact same moment are just like, nope. Bill, nope, not catching up with that one.
Half the time I just see the name and I'm just like, I'm not reading that.
I can't help myself. I
just know that good. It's 95%
but
of
we can't read it out. No. That's the problem. He's nearly caught me once or twice where I've looked over, read what he said, and just kind of caught myself at the last second. A starter, though.
I did see old Anderson died.
Yep. Yeah. Saw that.
It's been a few years. It's been,
some horror movie sequels here that we're going to start getting into. And of course, we have our usual thing at the end of the night where I read some shit that Buzz found me off the internet and see how that goes.
Yeah. See how that goes.
Good, because it goes this way and sometimes goes another way, so it's all depending on the content. Who wants to start?
Oh, we should have rolled the dice to see who goes
get,
first.
Get out the dice, do it live. Get out the dice, do it live.
I can do that. There we go.
Highest roll goes first.
Okay, so I suppose I might as well roll for myself first. I got a 1.
Okay, well, that's not good.
Rolling for Johnny, got a 7.
Right.
Rolling for Carter, got a 3. And rolling for Buzz, we also got a 3. So,
okay, so
looks like Johnny's up first. Ah, random chance. I should have picked the dice that wasn't purple. I was struggling at the end to see what
you should have known. I would get it if it was the purple one.
Hey, that's Justine. And
shit, good point.
So just wait for this ad.
No, better for next time.
Fuck off. Okay, so American Psycho 2. It's the story of a girl supposedly related to. Oh my god, I'm blanking. Patrick Bateman. Supposedly related to. Well, not supposedly. In the actual storyline of things, she is the stepsister, or is it the sister? She's related to him. Anyway, and it turns out that evidently being a psycho is genetic. And she's.
I could have told you that.
She's banging her college guy, what you call him? Tutor. That doesn't go well. College is rough. She doesn't like it. And she basically starts murdering people for really no substance or reason. The kind of entertaining weird trip you're taking on from the original movie as you slowly watch a guy lose his fucking mind as the movie goes on and he starts getting more and more psychotic. That's not here. That's not here at all. No.
Hey, newbie.
What up, newbie?
Boy, newbie. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, that's not in this movie. You don't need to worry about that kind of plot line in this movie. That's not there. It's essentially American Psycho went down so well that there was another serial killer book by a completely different author that was kind of in line with the motif of American Psycho and was slated to have its own movie. And Kill Surprise, they were like, I don't know if people know this book enough, but you know what? Couldn't we just make it American Psycho too? And she's the sister. And Hollywood were like, fucking, how could it go wrong? Very.
How could
it go
right?
Very, very wrong. I'll tell you, the first thing you could do that is a bad thing is hire Mila Kunis. You know, America's sweetheart? You know, the one that everyone thinks is the adorable little innocent lady? Yeah, we'll hire her as the fucking psycho. Very believable.
Actually, to be fair, I hadn't seen her in much, so for me, that actually did kind of work.
She's also not... No.
She's also what?
She's not from America.
Okay.
Isn't she in that 70s show as like a psycho fucking cunt as
no,
well?
No, she's just the annoying bitch of a girlfriend.
Yeah.
Which is
yeah.
why the psycho cunt worked well for me.
Hmm.
I feel there's it's different levels level, of psycho.
But yeah, no, this
yeah.
is a this was a completely different project that was basically shoehorned in
yeah.
to the motif of American Psycho. And you can tell because it starts off kind of American Psycho-y because that's the bit that they obviously shoehorned to make it seem like it was. And then it goes off and it does its own thing. It got me to Coons is hot.
Cool.
Bad movie.
I love the movies that are like, hey, this is kind of what you remember. No, it's not.
No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not.
I'm taking it. It's OMY for you.
Yeah. 100% for me. Okay. Yeah.
Didn't see it, so.
The annoying thing is, like, the book that it was based on, the book was pretty popular. It just wasn't, like, name known like American Psycho would have been. You know what I mean?
Dude. How many times did they pull this fucking shit and then they're surprised when it goes badly? You know? Whereby it's like, oh, that was a really cool film. Yeah. Do you have a sequel?
Tom?
What?
He's reading a comment from the chat.
Sorry, kind of threw me off there because it came out of nowhere. But anyway. Yeah, no, this is... Like I said, I wasn't trying to like talk up Mila Kunis. I was just saying that I'd seen her in this and I'd seen her in that 70s show. So the idea of her going from annoying bitch to psycho bitch wasn't that big of a leap. But yeah, no, this is bad. What are the categories for this week?
It's great.
It's oh my god, why for me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go.
It's that because I haven't seen it, so I gotta go with what.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Like, it's not good at all.
OMGY.
Yeah, it's just bad. Like, pacing in it's bad. There's kind of no feeling in it whatsoever. It's just, how American Psycho can we make this not American Psycho movie so we can call it American Psycho?
Ain't that the truth?
You know, Mila Kunis is pretty normal, dude, to be honest. You know the stars of that 70s show are fucked up when Topher Grace turns out to be the normal one from the young cast. Well, there was Hyde, we don't talk about.
Yeah.
Right. But a lot of his associates are getting dragged into his shit.
He was part of the... She's married Hyde was part of the Me Too thing and locked up for a significant amount of time due to it.
Gotcha.
Topher just kind of like, you know what, I'm going to keep acting and like go way the fuck over here.
It's like, you know what, I'm going to be Venom.
And right. Ooh, like, oh, fuck, I'm going to fuck you.
Yeah.
He's that's like, I can do superhero movie stuff.
Sorry, I actually stood up. I didn't know he was playing Venom until I saw it on screen, stood up in the cinema. What the fuck? because that is no.
I do kind of find it funny that Ashton Kutcher and Mila Kunis actually ended up together and married, because they were the two that like played the couple in the show.
Just breaking, oh, yeah. That guy was very good in the film Predators from 2010. I did like him there.
Huh.
He's just not Venom.
Oh. So. I can't type in things properly. OMGY.
Typing there. Things.
Those don't do words.
Those don't do a lot of things right now.
Anyway.
Gonna move on, because obviously this was an easy piece of shit down in the bottom. Now it's time to and go to maybe more uplifting sequels, and we'll do one of mine since me and Carter were tied. I'm just gonna say,
did they want to see the trailer actually for this heap of shit before you move on?
Do you want to see the trailer for this heap of shit before I move on? And we'll sit here in silence and wait and see what they say.
Like, no.
Have you ever been to a psychiatrist before?
No. Okay. How does it work?
We had more of not like a question. Together we asked the questions that just... will lead you to your answers.
I was only 12 years old, and I wasn't gonna let Patrick Bateman ruin my life.
Why do I stop there?
Oh yeah, I forgot about that. She's supposed to be murdered, Patrick Bateman.
American Psycho continues.
This girl has no concept of reality.
Angrier. Deadlier. And sexier than ever before.
Ribbed for her pleasure.
She was more obsessed than Dahmer. She's more calculated than Bundy. And certainly more faceless than Bateman. All in all, she killed 8 people. 8 people, which we know of.
Sorry, now I remember why I fucking hate the movie. I should have watched the trailer with the audio on. We have another little bit of a rant. We've already voted. I don't fucking care. Supposedly, she murdered him when she was a child and staged it so it didn't look like she murdered him. And on top of that, it completely undoes the awesome ending of American Psycho, where you don't know, did he kill a load of people or is he just cracked in the right fucking head? Because they just run with the premise that he's a serial killer.
So take away all the open
endings. Yeah, all the cool shit from the first movie. They're just like, right, let's ruin that. No problem.
If I remember correctly, though, the ending of the film was different to the ending of the book, which means that they could, get away with turning around and saying, oh, we were following the book rather than the film.
I still don't think it had a fucking definitive ending like that, though.
Shit. I can't remember because I never fucking read it. I'm trying to remember somebody who was telling me about it. But it was a very long
time. Lionsgate, need to fuck off.
Yeah.
You're ruining this milkshake for me, Lionsgate.
They ruined a lot of things back in the early 2000s.
It's almost like they were taking charge of the X-Men cartoon.
I didn't realize that the Crow remake thing is coming out in January or June.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay. I knew that filmed, but I didn't know if they were done.
Fiddly D.
Yeah.
That was one of those that took forever to make because it kept like getting different director, different writer.
That's never, ever a good fucking sign.
Anyway, sorry. Extra rant aside, what were you going to move on to, us?
We're going to go to Psycho 2. Fun film.
Do you know what's good about Psycho 2? You can't. Look, I don't even have to write anything. I can just go all the way to American. Here.
Boop. Oh. Yeah.
Copy and paste.
Not even copy and paste. Just delete that. Psycho 2.
Just
there we go.
Ah, yeah.
There we go. Trailer for a good fucking movie.
Yeah.
Terrible Psycho 2. Good movie. I don't even know if your video game's terrible, but you're ruining my show. So it's terrible. And that's it.
Yeah,
YouTube. I'm going to counter-advertise everything that shows up while I'm streaming.
Get an ad blocker.
It doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, it does.
Not my one. It keeps YouTube keeps catching it.
YouTube's a son of a bitch.
He isn't Firefox.
No. Anyway, the movie.
Psycho 2. Brings back Anthony Perkins as Norman Bates. This is set years and years, obviously, since the first film.
He's done a bit of jail time.
Yep. And he's about to go out and be rehabilitated. They think they've, you know, they've cured him from all the killing or something. I don't know.
Ta-da!
And, yep.
All of the crazy.
Now, so he goes back.
Turns out all he needed was Xanax.
You know, you never thought. But yeah, so he's released. He's kind of on, you know, we're watching you though, so don't do anything suspicious, Mr. Bates. Don't want to send you back. And he's like, all right, cool. I don't want to come back either. So he gets out. He gets a job. He's working as like a cook at a restaurant. And then he's still kind of obviously not cured because you just can't cure this kind of stuff. Who would have known? And so he kind of keeps keying little visions of his mother, and he kind of keeps getting fucked around with because there's other people that aren't very happy that he was released. They thought he should rot forever.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not so much that you can't rehabilitate someone. It's very hard to keep them rehabilitated when half the town are bunny boiling the guy essentially back into turning into a fucking murdering killer. We don't believe you're not a murderer. We don't believe you're not a murderer. He keeps screaming it at the guy long enough. He's just like, fuck it. You guys are, you know what?
I think
I'm a murderer because you guys are fucking assholes.
They kind of fuck with him at his job where, you know, it was one of those cool restaurants that have the little spindly doos with people's orders and the thing on there. People are like, you're going to die and shit like that. And he's like, mother? And he's just like, what's going on? And he's getting phone calls and shit
then
like
he,
that.
And then he ran through the mountains with his hunting pack with a mage
right.
and an archer. for a moment. And then we got back to,
Yeah, that must have been the...
I think it might have been in the outtakes.
Oh, I mean...
It didn't really fit the plot line. To be honest, I was very confused.
But yeah, so he kind of starts to fall in love again, kind of. And I think the name of the lady is Lisa Crane. He's kind of falling in love with her. And he's like, oh. And she's like, you know what? You're a good guy. And then it turns out her mother was the sister of the person that he killed in the original. And she's pissed off that he's released. And she's trying to... Some of them are kind of trying to sabotage.
Did you say the mother of the sister of the person? Because wouldn't that be the mother of the person that he killed?
No. He is... Or wait.
No, Giz is in fact correct.
Thank you.
She is the sister of the person that Anthony Perkins killed.
Yes. The mother of the love interest is the sister of the person that he originally killed in the first film. So it would be her aunt.
Right.
The love interest's aunt was killed. So... Mother and daughter are trying to, at first they're, you know, kind of working together, trying to get Norman Bates back into the loony bin. But then eventually daughter is like, I do like him. And then he just turns back into Norman.
This crazy is kind of cute.
And the end. That's Psycho 2.
More women like that, please.
But then, one of the other things we kind of find out is that supposedly Norman Bates' mother really wasn't his mother, and then that his real mother was still alive. And then at the very end of the film, he meets up with her and then he kills her in the kitchen. And then he still has a dead mother. He's like, oh, just
I've already made money off the franchise. You can't undo it.
Just briefly, firstly, Bill, I'm afraid that I do not take orders, and secondly, yeah, I'm not getting on the bike and driving my ass all the way up there just to deliver food that would have gone cold at that stage. I will eat it myself first.
I will say that the defense who's batter's sausages are perfectly fine cold.
You can also reheat those motherfuckers, I mean.
I don't know what any of that is, but... Yeah. Psycho 2.
Psycho 2.
It's a very underrated sequel, I think. I don't know if it's going to go a great tier, but I do think it's a good tier.
I agree with good. I really like this movie as well.
Anthony Perkins is really
good. Like, I thought it was a good follow-up. Like, instead of it just being he gets out of prison and turns into a serial killer, it's a weird, like, it's a drama for quite a large amount of the movie, as you just watch an aunt and her daughter fucking just twist a dude's brain up completely. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's kind of that part of, like, you don't know who it is. Like, you don't know, is he still, like, tripping balls? And then you kind of get the whole revelation that it is some puppeteers in the back trying to
mess with them and stuff like that. Anything. The aunt is dressing up as the mother, isn't she? Yeah.
Yes. So, I'm probably going to go get was a good follow-up. I really thought Anthony Perkins, like, shined in this one. And I thought the story was done pretty well. It was a decent, like, obviously it wasn't a big cash grab because it's, I know, what, 20, 30 years after the original. So it wasn't like an immediate, like, oh, wait, we have to push out a sequel. So let's just do the same thing. And, you know, really, I don't think we're originally going.
I think that's kind of what surprised me about it was, you know, it wasn't a cash grab, and the fact that it turned out so much better than I was expecting. I just kind of figured they're going to hodgepodge some shit together, slap, you know, American or Psycho on it and call it a fucking day. But it all turned out so good.
Vince Vaughn ended up becoming Norman Bates, and that was a shot for shot remake, and that sucked. At least it was this one. So I go good. I don't know where you guys
are. I'm good as well.
I would, yeah.
Yeah, so am I. I think I've seen it once, and it was just putting some of the scenes in my head together to make me realize that I had, in fact, seen it. But yeah, no, I remember thinking it was a decent enough story. The gaslighting kind of thing, because I've seen it in a few different films, it kind of annoys me sometimes. But in this one, it was done well because there is the revelation that, like, it's not, you know, there is a reason behind it. They're not just fucking
out. It's intelligently done because it's not just a case of he's getting bunny boiled. We're getting bunny boiled as well because...
Mm.
So it does show... It's a funny little examination of how not to judge a book by its cover, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Because it is like the guy came out and, like, him and Psycho, like, he'd had a mental breakdown. You know what I mean? And he got professional help, yeah, and he got out, and it's the mother and the daughter twisting him back into essentially having another mental breakdown again.
Yeah, they're purposely trying to get him to snap.
Because the whole town so just kind of forgives him, and they're kind of like, you know, oh, we'll be a little bit wary, but, you know, you got to let people have a second chance. And the auntie's just like, well, fuck that for a bag of sticks.
Right, yeah,
your sister that he killed. Rocks, cunt.
All this will soon
that's what it set up.
Yeah.
Why don't you kick rocks, cunt? It's right there.
Yeah.
Quotations. So that goes through. So we're all unanimous. It's a good. Yeah. Are we going to play the trailer?
I think it might be a thing that we just do. Might, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I just didn't want to scurry along before we were ready to scurry. Also, the chat. Put in the chat when we do one. Where do you put them?
Or have you even seen it?
Represented by the district attorney.
Or have you seen it? What do you think of that judge's chin? It's immaculate. Don't you realize they're going to release
the homicide maniac? Sit down, Mrs. Loomis.
It's all too obvious. Our courts protect the criminals, not their victims.
Norman Bates is judged, restored to sanity, and is ordered released forthwith.
It's 22 years later, and Norman Bates is coming home.
Oh, that voiceover is glorious.
I own a motel not too far from here, and you'd be welcome to spend the night in one of the empty rooms if you'd like.
Good night, Mary.
And he's back in business.
Who is this? My mother is dead. I'm telling you, there was a note.
on that wheel for my dead mother.
Norman, it couldn't be your mother. It had to be someone else.
I trust her. She would never do anything to hurt me. No. She'll kill you. I know she will.
Look out behind you!
No, I won't do that. You can't make me kill her.
22 years later, Norman Bates is home. Psycho 2.
I miss trailers like that. That was a good trailer.
Yeah.
This voiceover guy is perfect. But unfortunately, they came out with like 3. That was bad. Psycho 4, the beginning, which was like a made-for-TV movie where he like called in a radio show and was like, I'm going to tell you about my life. And they're like, okay, cool. That was not good either. And then remake, and then they kind of stopped, which all right. Was good. Good job.
Mission next up. What hat's your...
Okay. So, mine's going to be Carter, Child's that's Play fine. 3. Yep. It came out in... Oh, sorry.
Hang on. Well, I thought he got one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I forgot we did an ordering. Okay, yeah, this one. I thought we were only rolling for first. Sorry. I didn't know it was for the whole order.
Oh, yeah. I thought we were just doing down
you know what?
Chain.
That honestly, just kind of makes sense. Let's do that.
Honestly, so did I first, and then Buzz jumped right in. I was like, you know what? I like this. I got to sit back. Yeah. And...
Well, me and Carter both had 3, so that's why I was just like, you know what? I'd so I'll hop in first. So... Carter's turn.
All right. So, Child's Play 3, 1991. Somehow this kid just keeps finding ways to get in fucking trouble. Excuse me. Foster home's not working, so guess what? It's military school. And you think you'd be safe. No. Chucky finds a way to get mail to him. And, oh, look. Military school. There's not going to be some fuckery going on around here for a little doll and, you know, a bunch of kids. Of course not. Chucky finds a little kid and he's like, okay, this time, I'm going to swap bodies. This time, it'll work. Fingers crossed. And all of a sudden, he starts fucking with Andy. Andy realizes, oh shit, not you again. Here we go. And the whole cat and mouse thing keeps going back and forth with Andy, Chucky, and this poor kid. What was his fucking name? Tyler. That Chucky's decided that's the kid I'm going to do the body swap with. As it keeps going, people are slowly getting fucked up, and Chucky's thinking this is going to be the time we get to the what was it called, like War Games or some shit.
War Games.
And
sorry,
War Games. And Chucky if does you know, some little know. Fuckery there in hopes to fuck up some people. And of course, we get to the big showdown. It's Chucky. It's Tyler. Tyler and what's the boy's name? Andy. And Andy. And yet again, Chucky's plans do not land the way they think they will. And he winds up getting fucked up yet again. Andy surviving yet again. And oh, look, has to answer a bunch of questions as why there's always dead motherfuckers around you, a weird doll, and yet you always live.
It's because I'm built different. I'm hard as fuck, boy. You can't fucking take me.
Right. This was not... I don't know. I did not find this one good. I dig Child's Play, but this one was just kind of...
They're like grasping at straws by this time.
Yeah. It was just... It was bland to me. And it was just like... This is what, to me, what a money grab is. It's just throw key characters in. Really don't give a fuck what it is because they're going to be chasing each other. We need some people to die eventually. And then, like, we flip a coin to see if Chucky's going to win or not. No, because we want to make more sequels. Right. Don't flip the coin. Fuck it. This is just not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was made for selling merch. And everything about it, you know, from the beginning to the end, that's all I saw. It just was kind of a...
Look at the toy. This film... Look at the t-shirt. Look at the fucking shiny thing. Oh, is that a new video game in the background?
Right.
Oh, my.
Yeah, this was the third film in 4 years, because the first one came out in 88, the second one 90, and this was 91. So I'm like, yeah, you can pause.
Not,
you know,
I won't lie to you, it's not
bit,
even kinda... 4 years. It came out very late, 88.
Yeah, yeah. So maybe 3.5 years or something like that. So, like, you know, movie companies, you're allowed to take a breath and just, you know, actually think of good ideas before making your sequels. As opposed
to... You know, not to be a dick, but it doesn't always have to be chasing Andy. You know, like...
Yeah.
Take a break. Let it chase somebody else.
As the TV show showed.
Wound up in a fucking auction house. Well, true. It didn't play well in the movie for me, though. You know what I mean? Like, here, this is the third one, and it just... There was nothing really like
and this
entertaining
one
looks, about it. Like,
flash forward, obviously, quite a few years. He's a teenager now in the third one.
Yeah,
used to be in like 10 or 12 or whatever he was in the first one. So like, it's a different person playing Andy. Which I mean, I'm not really saying the one who played him in the first couple were all like freaking Academy
Award
winning actors.
Well, they were good for a fucking 8 year old.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
But it's. It's kind of the same thing that happened in a way with like the Friday the 13th, the three that like they kept recasting fucking Tommy Jarvis, where it's just like you couldn't really get into the character because it was a different person playing it. So you're just like, I who's this? Andy? It doesn't look like the same to me. So, and then also the whole fucking military thing, and it's just the same.
The military thing with this used to bug me solely because I was like, look, I get that the doll's kind of opportunistic, and if you're caught in the hop, he's very good at hiding somewhere and getting you, but I feel you should be accumulating some amount of skills to be able to deal with people just jumping out from behind you, number one, and number two,
yes,
there's plenty of firearms there. I feel like you could have just shot him. A lot.
Yeah.
Throw some heavy ordnance at him, even.
He's
you know what I mean?
And I think that's just it. Like, you know, it, there's no real build up to anything. And then when they finally throw down, it's like, oh, yeah, cool. It was bad to me.
It's the same as, like, when you see, in season 3, I think, of the Chucky TV series, where the dad's the president and he takes out so many of their personal security, and I'm like, where are you hiring these fucks from that they're protecting the president and can't handle a foot and a half tall doll?
Yeah, that's, yeah,
like even if he does like cut your ankle or something, like, you guys are supposed to be the type of dudes that would bite your own arm off to keep coming back in a fight, you know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, and it just, like, with this one, it's the same thing for three movies, where it's just, like, little boy has to be like, Chucky did it, and it wasn't me, and things happen, and then we're like, oh, I guess it was Chucky then, the end. And the second movie, same thing, which is different people and circumstances. And this one, it's like, he's a little bit older, and he's in the military school, but it's still, weird things are happening, and it's Andy, and then he's like, no, Chucky did it. Well, like, we don't believe you. And then at the end, they're like, oh, I guess it was Chucky at the end. And I was just like, fuck this.
At one point, you know, as the kid, I'm just kind of like, look, dude, I'm going to go get a pack of cigarettes. You do whatever the fuck you need to do. Get a body. Leave me the fuck alone. I just don't care anymore.
How do you feel about me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Child's Play series is kind of like, first one, yep. Second one, eh. Third one, meh. Fourth one, woohoo!
Yeah,
like, it's not bad.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Like, I can watch it.
Yeah, because obviously, they had to change it up after this one because they weren't able
to
do the same thing
to
1.
That's why I was like, "How do we feel about meh?"
Okay, that's fine.
All right, this is gonna be a hard fucking ranking. Carter, you're up next.
That was Carter.
Oh, it's back to me? No, it's Giz. Yeah, sorry.
No, Giz.
Giz.
Anyway, I'm going to go with... Okay. I'm baked.
Me too.
Oh, yeah, wakes me up. Sorry.
It wakes me up too. You should have seen me fucking 2 hours ago.
You were asleep?
No. Well, might as well have been.
Anyway, I'm going to go with a classic. And when I say a classic, I mean 1935's Bride of Frankenstein. Now, the basic story is that set directly after the end of the first one, it turns out the monster and Henry Frankenstein have both survived. The monster is down in a pit until the father of a girl that he killed comes down to see the bones. He gets out, kills the father, does a runner. Henry is brought to his fiancée Elizabeth. She realizes he's still alive, nurses him back to health. There's another dude named Dr. Pretorius who is also interested in doing the same kind of work that Henry Frankenstein was doing, whereby, you know, making your own life, and invites Henry to his lab, shows him off all this cool stuff that he's done, all these little fuckers and bottles and all these monkey line stuff like that. The monster, meanwhile, is wandering through the woods, ends up saving a shepherdess, who screams in terror because... Hello! To Girl for Heaven.
Girl for Heaven?
Like a great movie, especially because her name is Elizabeth. Oh, well, fair enough. It's actually a fantastic movie. But yes, it is. Anyway, the monster saves a girl, scares the girl, hunters shoot at him, he ends up being captured, tied to a pole in a village, brought to a dungeon, he breaks out of the dungeon, meets an old hermit dude in the woods who is blind, ends up befriending the hermit and kind of being happy for a while, until the same two hunter lads arrive on. They think that the monster's there to kill the hermit. The hermit's fucking hut ends up going in flames, the monster ends up doing a runner, and while he's on the run, meets Dr. Pretorius, once again, who Henry has told he doesn't want to, not interested in working, thank you very much, I'm good, don't want to make, you know, I know you're looking to build a brain from scratch to stick into this new body, I'm cool, I'm happy, we're good. Anyway, runs into Pretorius, introduces himself and explains that he was the creation of, I think he explains that Pretorius figures it out one or the other. Pretorius once again confronts Henry, says that he needs him for his work. The monster comes out, once again telling Henry that I need you to build me a mate. I need somebody, you know, he needs someone.
Woman.
Because, you know,
build me a woman.
Well, everyone's terrified of him, you know? I mean, it's only fair. Henry doesn't exactly agree, but Pretorius kind of gives Frank the old nod and the old wink, and, you know, the monster grabs Elizabeth. So, blackmail, fantastic, or hostage situation, whatever way you want to look at it. They build what will be dubbed the Bride of Frankenstein, bring her to life. She has the exact same reaction as the shepherdess, which is to and be terrified of
the Can you give
of,
me that impression again there, please, really quickly?
Good
stuff. Okay.
Thank you. The monster is understandably pissed at this and ends up destroying the lab. Henry... is it Henry finds Elizabeth? Can't remember. Henry is reunited with Elizabeth. The monster grabs a hold of Dr. Pretorius and his bride. Tells Elizabeth and Henry to go. They get to live. And tells the other two that we belong together. We belong dead. And the movie... What's brilliant about this film is... A lot of the things that we think about when we think of the image of Frankenstein is derived from this. Mm-hmm. And more so this than its predecessor. And part of the reason for that is that after the fire, the guy working on the makeup decided that he was going to redo it to make it look like fire damage. So that flat topped head and everything where there's like less hair and all the rest of it is supposed to be that it's burnt off. Over the course of the movie, there's scars and stuff that begin to heal. It's interesting because, once again, this... delves into stuff from the original novel, and it's the idea is that at the very start of it, it's Lord Bysshe and Herring Shelley and Mary Shelley once again telling stories, and she explains that there's more to the story that she told the first time, so she ends up kind of rounding it off and bringing it being like a moralistic tale almost. But yeah, this is kind of the definitive Frankenstein story for me. The first film's kind of like, okay, cool, they made a Frankenstein movie, well done, you did the first one. But this is the better story. There's more character development of the monster itself. You know, we get to see into it, which is interesting because Karloff originally didn't want the monster to speak, you know. And it's what's hilarious is the fact that the director got together with the studio psychiatrist, and he didn't take this film seriously. Like, it's the same director from the first one, And he's like, I got everything I could, so we're gonna take the piss out of this. So his idea was to make this kind of like make it a laugh, deliberately make Frankenstein the IQ of like a 4-year-old, but the emotional state of like an early teenager or something. Mm-hmm. So from there, but yeah, no, for me this is great. This is the definitive, before the actual film Mary Shelley's Frankenstein, this would be the definitive Frankenstein story, and you know, the thing that a lot of stuff have actually based their stories from. And like I said, the very look of Frankenstein to this day, for most of us, when we think about it, it's Karloff in that second film.
So, nice. Yeah, okay, we're going to hit the trailer quick and then we're going to go back and put a ranking on.
Yeah.
Dry mouth.
No, it said weak heart, but if you need it.
I don't have a weak heart. I have a very damaged heart.
Yoink.
Oh, shit. She's gone. The monster. He's got her.
I believe that is Pretorius' business, TJ.
Maybe he's just very happy.
Coloring in the background of that there, by the way, like the design just reminds me of like you're waiting for Porky Pig to come out behind them.
That's all, folks.
Alrighty, Bride of Frankenstein.
She's great.
Yeah, I would agree to you. It's literally a piece of cinema. It not only is it a piece of cinema history, it's just a piece of classic cinema as well. As Giz said, everyone goes on about Frankenstein, but this, all the visual imagery that 90% of people have in their head is from this movie, and iconography derived from this movie. Boris Karloff just knocking it out of the park as per usual. And I love black and white, guys. I miss it. There's so much interesting stuff you can do with lighting and shadows in the black and white format that you can't pull off in color. And this is a movie where it's used beautifully.
At some point, I plan on showing Young Frankenstein back to back with this.
Well, we'll be properly reviewing this on Thursday, as I'm assuming this is great, right?
Oh, yeah.
I think so.
Alrighty, my go. I don't know if we're going to have time to get through all four of these.
That's why I kind of tried to do a Johnny thing on Bride.
I will do a Johnny thing on Book of Shadows. It'll be fine.
No, mine's going to take 2 seconds. So
yeah. Okay, so Book of Shadows. Let me just pull up the video there quick. Book of Shadows is the sequel to the Blair Witch Project, which had lost all of its appeal and power by then because everyone had already figured out that the media... junket about the movie.
This is a quick introduction to
they realized that it's not real, and it wasn't a documentary, and it was all bunkum that they'd watched.
I totally got one of the lads in class with that.
So this movie is a terrible shame, is what this movie is. As not unlike American Psycho 2, this is another one that was a different script that they were like, I'm pretty sure we can Blair Witch this up now, if memory serves me correctly. So they were like, how are we going to do it? And we're going to be like, well, Blair Witch is super famous now because of the movie, and it's a load of people coming to visit the place of the movie, but lo and behold, there's an actual witch. So there's a guy who has been in a mental home.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, Alex, welcome in. How are you? This movie is a terrible shame. Time to add it to my watch. Yeah, it's a terrible shame because it's actually... So, it's actually a really, really good movie, except that it's not a Blair Witch movie. And all of the Blair Witch shit that's shoehorned in just...
Doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense at all whatsoever. Even in the realm of a magical witch being involved in the plot line, it doesn't make any sense. I'm also going to say that... this trailer with the Saw theme tune playing at the same time just hits different. For anyone, as that's what everyone out in the Twitchverse is hearing right now. This was your standard early...
Kick first, sorry.
This was your standard early 2000s movie. How do you know? Because Marilyn Manson was playing during this intro scene. And that's always a sign of a 2000s horror movie, is Marilyn Manson is in the intro music. But it basically, long and short of it is, there's a guy, he got out of a mental home. He's having a tour that where he brings people up to where all of the stuff from the Blair Witch is supposedly happening. They all go up there. They lose their memory. All of their camera gear gets kind of semi-wrecked. They go back to your man's warehouse to try and establish what the hell is going on. Lo and behold, turns out they've been murdering some people, supposedly. Turns out the witch has got the power of all of them. Turns out Giz has just turned 14 feet tall.
Turns out my computer's just had a conniption because Kick froze for a second and then all the Skype windows went weird.
It's basically a very cool premise that's ruined by the fact they tried to wrap it into the Blair Witch in a total cash grab. This was just, please give me fucking anything that I can attach the Blair Witch to so I can continue on this franchise because I'm pretty sure we can make money. As I said, terrible shame because the actual overall idea of the movie is really, really good. And if it was just a freaky witch movie, I think it would have, you could have probably made a franchise out of that in its own right. And also a shame because everyone hates the movie and there's some blinding performances in this from all of the actors. Like, it's really well done. It looks really cool. It's just that all the Blair Witch shit that shoehorned in there just... none of it adds up. None of it properly ties into anything from the previous
Night Bill,
and none of it makes sense overall. When you put all the puzzle pieces together, you're just hammering jigsaw pieces into places that don't fit. And I dare say, as much as I like it, like, I watch this relatively regularly because I can see it for what it's supposed to be. There's also the director of this said there was so much studio interference that he took his name off it. Like, it's not the movie that he had gone into direct initially. And some little genius, I believe the script is available online for what the original premise for the movie was.
Ooh, hi, Tristan.
Hey, Tristan. So I believe that there is a script online for what the movie was supposed to be originally done, and some little genius somewhere, and I've been trying to track a copy down and I can't, did a re-edit on the movie with adding in little bits of the Blair Witch Project and stuff into it, where he managed to re-edit the movie as much as possible into the actual storyline and timeline of the script. And it's supposed to be really good.
Oh, okay.
Which I'd imagine it would be. Hmm. But this, as much as I hate to do it, would go into, oh my God, why for me?
Yeah.
Because it's just, why not just release it as its own thing?
At the end, if you had it on VHS, they were like, stay tuned to the end where you actually see real spooky faces. And I'm like, no, it's not real. You fucked off the last time. You told me that wasn't real, so I don't believe you anymore. So stop with your bullshit.
It's not a mix of both, DVD, but it's like certain scenes, like for going through the woods and things like that, he's managed to re-edit the movie so that the sequel is supposed to be the movie that it was supposed to be.
Yeah.
I shall see what I can see when I get the chance.
Okay, cool. Okay, we can just slam this down here into whatever. We won't. We're not going to play through the trailer. We don't have time.
Mine's going to be easy. It's Aliens. It's great.
He's not wrong.
Did you like Alien the first one? Well, you'll love this one because there's more aliens. There's more carnage. There's fucking Bill Paxton saying it's a bug hunt and then game over, man.
While I agree with you, unfortunately, there is an entire demographic who right now are screaming, no, you're wrong, Buzz. It's not me. I love Aliens. But apparently, like, because it's not the thematic fucking horror movie that the first film was, they're all like, no! Whereas I, like you, am thinking, yes!
Yeah. There's nothing to not love about this film. Effects, awesome. Acting, awesome. Story, awesome.
One-liners, awesome.
It's great. Yes. So, it's an easy, for me, easy great.
Okay, I didn't even get to play the trailer. That's fine. Great. Okay, perfect.
It's aliens.
That's true. I mean. That's true. Okay. Carter.
Yep.
Hellraiser 2.
Sorry. Okay, so Hellraiser 2. A lot of nightmare shit happens in the first one. And the girl. Well, I mean
that's summary. One way of putting it. Yeah.
But, right. The girl survives, Christy. Of course, she gets sent to an asylum. Come to find out, the doctor there is super fucking shady and has plans to get the whole box thing opened up, which will bring, yet again, more nightmare shit into this poor woman's life. The bitch, was she like stepmom? That we thought we had finally got rid of in the first one? She's back. And she's up to fuckery. Let's see. The doctor gets the box open. Nightmare shit comes pouring through. Great fucking movie because there's a lot going on in this one. Eventually, door to hell's closed. Those live, those don't. And a lot of cool fucking lines in between.
Yep, that's Hellraiser 2, pretty much. It looks great. Some actually really good like visuals.
Yeah, and storyline-wise as well, I think it kind of, now that the premise of the Cenobites had already been introduced, it's a bit more filled out storyline-wise than the original movie.
Yeah.
They're able to expand more upon what the Cenobites do and their reasoning for it.
I think it's a great
crossover, see the other side of the door. Grace.
Where are you think?
I think it's great.
I think it's good.
Mm. I would say probably lean more towards good.
Yeah, good. But yeah, good.
Do you want to say great?
I kind of have to.
You kind of have to?
No, I kind of have to, yeah. See, the thing is, I view the first and second movie kind of literally as what they are, part one and part two of the same story.
Yeah, but they are.
Yeah, but that's my point. I think the first film's great. But I recognize the second one just because, well, yeah, no, fuck it, I'm saying great as well.
We're at a tie.
So it will be...
Flip a coin.
You have a...
Good.
Grud?
Grud. No. And this is why they make fun of us. We just make up words as we go.
I tried.
I never said who was going to be heads and who was going to be tails. I just put that down.
Okay. Flipping the coin defeats the purpose of the ranking system.
What do you think, Alex? Have you seen Hellraiser 2?
What do you think? Somebody else. Yeah, where do you think it goes?
We need a tiebreaker.
Great or good? You know what? While they're figuring that out, I can quickly do the next film.
I'm just going to put this down into Oh My God, Why?
I was going to say, Once Upon a Time, there was a fantastic film called Jaws. Unfortunately, it made a lot of money. They wanted to do a bunch of sequels. They made this one. It's so bad, Michael Caine went, I don't want to be associated with it. The end.
And Alex says great, so it looks like it's going great.
Oh, I felt
sorry,
that
was that
pop.
The end of Jaws?
Yeah, you saw it.
You can do a little bit longer, Giz.
All right, fine. Apparently we're supposed to believe that a shark can come back from the dead and hunt an entire family for vengeance, because the mother is fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. The fucking moron son from the second film that thought it would be a good idea to go out in a boat with his younger brother while his father's hunting a killer shark has not learned his lesson from the third movie where he worked with sharks and is now working in the Bahamas. Oh no, yeah, because his younger brother just got ate by a shark. Younger brother was the cop, that was it, yeah. So anyway, the fucking granddaughter convinces Ellen to go down to the Bahamas, where they meet a person who refuses to be named, who happens to be flying a plane at the time. He decides, you know what, you're looking a little bit of all right. To the
some would say his name is Michael Plane.
Michael Plane. Some would, but I don't know who. Anyway, right. So, moron brother is out with his buddy because they're doing research and they just got their new grant. And his buddy gets a flyby by a shark bigger than his fucking house. Which is unheard of because they're in the fucking Bahamas and it's way too warm down out here, man, for a shark to be. So,
man's deepest fear has risen again. And this time it's pissed. Jaws of revenge.
Yeah. So anyway, moron brother says, listen, whatever you do, don't tell my mother about this because she's fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs about this fucking shit. So they keep fucking studying the shark. Moron brother nearly gets et by shark when the shark comes after him in a fucking...
Mam's a wee bit sensitive to shark-related fatalities for some reason.
Which, I mean, you're all like, hey, she's cuckoo, but I feel like she's kind of, like, earned...
Listen,
that level of crazy.
She's having fucking visions of the shark attacking people, which, okay, fair enough. The shark does make a play for her granddaughter, you know, on a banana boat. But, you know, it's...
The shark worked out a plan of vengeance. It's a... You know?
Yeah. So, anyway, eventually fucking Mama Shark Hunter decides, fuck this for a tub of spin. I'm going to rob the boat. So she robs her son's boat and goes out fucking shark hunting. With no weapons, just a boat, which, you know...
I mean, each Michael, to their own.
Yeah. Michael Plane is convinced to bring brother and buddy to bring buddy and fucking and moron brother to go look for her. They eventually find her. Plane starts fucking, you know, they make a water landing. Shark comes in, tries to eat Michael Plane. Apparently, Michael Plane declares that shark has terrible breath. Because Moron Brother had stuck a tracking device onto the shark previously in the film, they're able to make a device that kind of electrocutes its fucking, or acts against its normal, yeah.
Weirdly enough, not shark. The most unbelievable part of the movie.
Yeah, because a shark actually does use this. Okay, so a shark uses like an electric version of sonar to hunt. So the tracking device, they have a receiver for it. So they rewire the receiver to use that against the shark. To kind of like fry his own nervous system essentially. So he's fucking flopping around like a fish out of water while being in the water. Mama fucking shark hunter aims it right, and this is where things get interesting. In the original
this
American
is
version,
where things get interesting.
Bear with me. In the original American version, she skewers the shark. Oh, by the way, Moron Brother's buddy has been eaten by the shark. This is important.
Of course,
she skewers the shark, and the shark bleeds out while slowly sinking to the bottom. Now, as she's skewering the shark, in every version, she envisions her husband going, "Small you fucking bastard," while he shoots the tank. In the DVD and fucking international versions, the shark explodes the moment the fucking boat hits it, somehow, and then Moron Brother hears his buddy calling for help, because apparently his buddy somehow survived. So, yeah, there is actually two different versions of this film. So...
There is.
Yeah. This is just
one reverse. Bad enough. We have to make another one. I spit on my microphone.
Peter would hate this film. Alex, we hate this film. The people who were in this film hate this film. This is.
Yeah, Michael Plane refuses to be acknowledged as being in this movie.
This is fucking.
Blame him.
Why? Jaws 3 was bad enough. This is just. Stop it. Just stop. And I think they did after this. They learned their lesson. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, they stopped.
Oddly, I was okay with a shark with a grudge.
Of course. Of course.
I'm saying, dude, everybody's got a breaking point. You hunt. I'd be a little pissed off too.
Right. Where did the grudge come from if the shark keeps being killed in the previous films?
Anyway, before we start getting into all of that, let's just
family
there. Oh my God, why? Does that seem right to all of you?
Then it's right.
Oh, fuck yeah.
on the
okay,
bottom.
Well, that's going to be it for us, so, on the horror movie sequel. Sorry for the rush at the end of it, but I have a manager's meeting I need to get to in fucking
this is what I'm trying to...
But, yeah, that was a fun one. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. So, Thursday for Movie Night is going to be Hellraiser 2, Bride of Frankenstein, Aliens. What a fucking lineup. Other than that, Buzz has been scouring through the magical world of the interwebs to find me some of the weirdest or rhymiest, I don't know what it is this week. What's this?
We're back to the letterbox reviews.
Okay. Good things. Okay. Capybara walking. 3.5 stars. I'm a little bit tipsy right now, but this is fucking cinema.
I think it's a documentary about capybaras.
Scream, 1996, 4 stars. This live action Among Us was really fun. Both imposters did well. No one figured it out until the end. I was sus of Light Green for a while, but he was just bad at tasks. Overall, best video game adaption there is, in my opinion.
Oh my god, Scream makes sense.
It's actually, yeah, that is...
I saw that and I was like,
that is good. That is good.
Oh no, we're gonna get an Among Us movie and it's just Sharknado. Gonna be this ripped off.
Half a star. Fuck you. Number
half
one.
Fucking hero.
Is it bad that Sharknado turned me on? Boom. He gets it. He might have only given it a half a star, but he gets it. That's fine. Psycho.
The true purpose.
1960. One star.
Fuck you.
One star, only because it has too many 5 stars. Really? A cross-dressing serial killer gets more stars than a serial-killing leprechaun?
Yes, that's exactly what happened.
I like exactly. The movie, I think.
You worry me, character.
Monkey Up. Oh, my lord. Half a star. Acceptable. The first film to make me feel attracted to a monkey, but it won't be the last.
Some underlying concerns there.
Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century. Half a star. Both Blade Runner 2049 and Xenon, Girl of the 21st Century take place in the year 2049. That's just a fun fact for you. This film is hot trash.
Hey, you gotta take scathing. The positives. I mean, at least we...
I don't know if it's a positive. Blade Runner 2049 was...
Anyway, that's going to be it from us here at the Gorecast. We'll catch you all on Thursday for some more horror bollocks, but hang on in there because we're going to bring you from one realm of podcasting to the other where Carter's going to put a doohickey in the whatchamacallit so I can send you to someone. There you go. Thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. There you go. Copy and paste that. Any minute now, I'll decide to click on the right thing. Yeah, there we go. We are going to bring you over to Logan the Ginger, where they're having a podcast. I don't know about what, but they're definitely having one. So, hope you all have a good night, guys. Catch you later. Toodaloo.
Bye.
Bye.
Later.